Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Rachel. How's it going?
Good. How is my friend?
I'm doing okay. How about
Yeah.
you? Yeah.
I'm home for a minute. I'm
Yeah.
home for like 10 minutes,
In
basically.
between jaunts, right?
I've had four jaunts in 5 weeks out of
Wow.
town, like on airplanes. So,
Wow.
yeah, that is, it's a little bit too many. I'm feeling a little bit run down,
Do
and
you write on the planes?
I don't. I have one of those screen protectors that if you're sitting next to a person on the plane, you can't see it. It goes black, which is
Oh.
one of those privacy screens, which is great because then I can write. But normally, I don't. I do write in the airport. I do all that kind of stuff. But on the plane, I tend to like space out and meditate, or I really like listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Closing my eyes and kind of using that time just to be alone or reading or whatever. I did a little bit of all of that
Do
this
you
month.
Wi-Fi on the plane?
No, never.
Me neither.
Never, ever, 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 ever. No. Plus, one, I'm too cheap. Like, I will not
Yeah,
pay
I know. It's on principle. I'm like, no, I'm not paying for
Exactly. I already paid you
that.
so much for this ticket. But yeah, but no, otherwise, I just really enjoy the feeling of disconnection.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I usually try like not to talk to seat mates. I'm very polite and say hello, but then I put my earphones in even if I'm not listening to anything because
Yeah.
I just want to be in that little bubble,
Yeah.
a little cocoon. So, although I did hear a podcast on one of my flights recently that was talking about how we really do get happiness from connection with
Yeah.
others, even when we 100% believe that we will not. Like when I sit down now, I do think I should chat with them for a moment. It'll probably make us both feel better, you know?
Yeah.
But still, I want to go into my cave. How
That
about
I
go
was
on.
just gonna say that was a great little mini episode you did on how do you write with the podcast. I
There were
like
so
that.
many great podcasts that I had just been listening to that just
Yeah.
kind of blew my mind, especially like, and I've been thinking about the one thing and we're going to talk about that at some point. So
Yeah.
good stuff going on. How about you? How's writing going?
Writing's good. Zach and I are kind of in the home stretch on Three Story Method, and
Nice.
we kind of made a decision that we're gonna do an audiobook. So like that's like another layer on it. And we're still trying to figure out what that's gonna be and how that's gonna work. But yeah, it's exciting. It's been something we've been working on for a long time, and it was gonna be published by someone else, and now we're gonna do it. And
Right, which I
yeah,
think is better.
it's gonna be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Now, are you considering narrating it yourselves?
Yes.
Good, because you
Yes.
both have good voices. And I think that
Yeah.
that could be really fun.
I think too, there's something to be said for having a listenership.
Yes.
And because I have 117 podcasts, I do have some
125,
listeners who recognize my voice.
actually. It's really true, and I get so much continuous great feedback on Fast Draft, your memoir, which I did myself,
Yeah.
and people really like that it's in my voice, and they do feel like they know me after they've listened to the book, even if they have never heard a podcast, if they've never seen me on YouTube or anything, they feel like they know me. So I would go for that.
Yeah, it's probably where we're gonna end up.
Have you ever done a you haven't done an audiobook before,
Not I've not done an audiobook
like narrate it?
proper, but I've done like voiceover work in studios, and I have a lot of the gear here, and I'm pretty my voice is pretty well trained. I took vocal lessons for a number of years when I was in bands, and so I have like breath
Yeah.
control and that kind of thing. So I know what I'm getting into. It's not a complete like unknown for me. I
Right.
just gotta kind of gear up for it.
I'm gonna do a couple more here myself soon. I am gonna
Are
do
you?
a novella that precedes five books that are already out in audiobook so we can bundle them. And also the Letters to Aspiring Authors book I'm gonna do. And my virtual assistant Ed is always saying, okay, get ready to go back in studio. I need those books. So he's awesome.
Nice.
Well, in a little bit of news, we have some Patreon supporters to
Nice.
thank. I don't think I thanked this person last time, but Carrie Hardesky,
Thank you,
thank you
Carrie.
so much. And Jessica Green, thank you, thank you, thank you. She just came in like a minute ago.
Oh, nice.
And Leslie Buck edited her pledge up to a really lovely amount
Thank
and
you, thank
really
you.
really want to say thank you to her. And she's in one of my classes too, and she's just a lovely person. So hello, Leslie.
Nice, thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We have, before we take a look at comments, I wanted to mention this. If you are listening in real time, then tomorrow we are on the Secret Library podcast with Caroline Donahue.
Yes.
That comes out on, I'm not sure the exact date. I'm thinking the 13th, I guess.
Must be 13th, yeah.
Thursday, yeah. So yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes. Make sure to check it out. We had a great time with Caroline.
It was so fun, yeah. And I was so glad that we were on that. So I am very glad that's going live.
Yeah, we're going to be the second episode in her season two.
In the new season,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. All right, so with that out of the way, I will say I have been in contact with the Acast support team regarding comments. There's definitely something funky. They've recognized that.
I was just leaving someone. I was going to tell you that, like, as I'm trying to leave them, I had to try four or five times, and every time it would say, "You're not connected to the internet." I'm connected to the internet for every single other thing, and I just keep hitting send, and then it would finally send. So if people are still having trouble,
yeah. So it's
keep trying.
I mean, we're just kind of. I hope people can appreciate that this is a episode 161. So if we have to move from this, it's quite a big deal. It's gonna be a nightmare, either in cost or time, or maybe both. So I'm really kind of trying to give Acast the opportunity to fix it before we go that route. I mean, we will if we have to, but it may be a few more weeks before we know one way or the other. So please just be patient. Let us know also, like, if you continue to experience problems, it's good for us to know so I can feed that back to Acast. There's definitely something with caching. And if you don't know what internet caching means, it's like it's showing an older version of the page. So it's not that the comments aren't there. It's just not updating is what
it is. If it helps that my Acast page for How Do You Write is even more badly off, and my web person is dealing with that. So nothing is working over there. So I'm irritated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, willing to give it a little bit more time because I've got other important things to do.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I'm like, I'm gonna wait it out. This is like the second or third time we've had this issue on our site. So I kind of feel like if I don't get like a 100% confident it's all good, then we probably will move it back to a self-hosted WordPress.
Let us take a moment too and thank our listeners who do come and leave comments and fight and punch our website in the nose at thewriterswell.org, because we really do appreciate you and we get so much out of your comments.
Yes. So, and it makes us feel bad that it's a struggle for you guys. We're trying.
Yes.
We're trying.
Yeah.
So last week's episode, which we didn't record in real time, so I think it's been a while since we looked at some comments anyways, but this was episode 161, and the question was, what is your morning routine on the weekend?
Mm-hmm. And, good answers in here.
Yeah, we definitely had some good ones in there. Of course, Christopher comes in there with his his first comment, talking about lovely wifey Denise.
Do you know if wifey is coming over for the show?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Summit, because I'd like to meet wifey Christopher.
I would like to meet her too. Maybe he can bring her along. We'll see. Carrie, the other Clevelander. Hi, Carrie. Chimed in there and she said she moved in with her grandmother when she lost her grandfather. She was talking about your living situation and the housing market in 2008 and some of the struggles that they went through. So that was nice of her to kind of share that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also Cleveland in the house, and I'm going to admit something embarrassing. You might already know it, but I do watch The Bachelor. Don't laugh. I watch it to watch women's relations and interactions and fights and stuff. And they had like this big date in Cleveland.
Yeah, apparently I live here and I didn't know that they filmed the entire season in Cleveland and that it's on now. And one of my mastermind people was like, "You know, The Bachelor's in Cleveland, right?" I'm like, "No, I didn't."
And they make it look so gorgeous. And I know you love it. It just makes me want to go there even more. Like it just looks beautiful.
Well, I don't know when it was filmed, but it was clearly in the fall or late summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now I've admitted that. Go on.
Kim Barton chimed in and said her morning routine is totally different on Saturday and Sunday, which I can appreciate. She eats a big breakfast, teaches an Aikido class, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Edwin said his weekend is Monday, Tuesday. So we talked about that too, how some people have weekends that aren't necessarily on Saturday and Sunday.
I did that for years and I really loved having, I would usually have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for my weekend. And it was so awesome because I could do all the things when other people were at work.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yep. SJ chimed in and said she tries to get some couch time and rest each Saturday and Sunday, which is a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I know Chad, because Chad emailed me, Chad Boyer was fighting his way through the comment system and was able to get one on there. So,
and I love that he asked, how does my spouse's D&D friends get away from their family? Cause he's been trying to get into a Dungeons and Dragons group and never finds the proper time. I really think I love to comment this, but I don't think any of her group has kids. I think that's the answer. I think they're all married with no kids. So they have Sunday mornings to do this.
Yep. That'll do it.
For 4 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, right. I don't want to retread on this question, but before we get into it, I wanted to ask you a follow-up because I was thinking about what you said. And you said you sleep in late, like on Saturday and Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, that has now changed.
Ah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying now this thing, which is getting up early at 5:30 every day, 4:30 on Tuesdays, because I've got to get up at 4:30 on Tuesdays, but 5:30 the rest of the days, because when I sleep in late on the weekends, I tend to sleep until 9 or 10. And that's a whole like 4.5 hour
My body
that I've been doing back and forth.
Yeah.
And I did it for so long, 17 years on 911. I would, if I was on the night shift, I'd stay up 4 nights a week, and then I would stay up for 3 days a week. Like I was constantly going back and forth 12 hours. So my body didn't really think it's a big deal to jet lag it back and forth every week, 3 or 4 hours, but it is. I was listening to that sleep episode that I mentioned on 10% Happier. It's the sleep one. I think it's episode 221 that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it really talks about how bad that is for your body. So
yeah, I was curious about that because like I think an hour, even an hour is,
you can feel an hour.
You can feel it. But like several hours, I was like, there's going to be some rebound activity back and forth. Mm-hmm. Off of that.
And then I can't go to sleep that night. And Yeah. So I'm, this is my new experiment. You know, I like experimenting with biohacking. So I will get back to you on it.
All right. We'll be curious to hear how that works out for you.
Cool. Well, I have a question for you. And I have been dying to ask you this since I was asked it. In Pittsburgh when I was at Seton Hill and our interviewer asked us this, and I don't think I'd ever really been asked this way. So are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. When was the first time that you really knew in your bones that you were going to be a writer? Not, you know, like the day, like, can you remember the time where you're like, oh, this is what it's going to be?
I don't know if you're going to like this answer.
Oh, now I'm curious.
Not sure I've ever had that feeling.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You left your day job to be a writer. So there must have been some point in there where you're like, I'm going to be a writer, but really knew it. Or are you still just hoping?
I don't know. It's so timely. So today, some of our mutual friends, Sarah and Jamie Albright, have a new podcast.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's If I Knew Then, or it's something about like if I, now I'm forgetting the name of it. But
I did see somebody talking about that. Yeah. That's going to be great.
But they were interviewing me for it, and they were asking me about how I became full-time. And I told the story how, like, this is terrible advice, not what I would recommend. But, like, I left my salaried, safe day job at the point I was making $200 a month in royalties with no savings, 2 kids in private school, a mortgage, and a wife. And they were like, oh.
Definitely not recommended.
Not recommended. But the reason I was telling them that, and the reason I think it's relevant, is because I said, I think because I had no safety net, I took an incredibly large risk, but I didn't have any wiggle room. So I had to, and I still am, like, I have to hustle. And I mean that in a more positive sense, not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become more negative now, but this idea that, like, I couldn't just, I can't rely on my wife's income for anything other than our health insurance, but, like, we can't, even like 2 weeks, like if she didn't work for 2 weeks, we'd be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I have to, I put me in a functional desperation. Like, okay, I can't, like, like I'm desperate, but I can't
really
just crawl up into a ball and cry about it. Like I,
yeah.
If I really want to do, now, of course, I didn't just do this on a whim. I mean, I started writing and publishing 7 years prior, but I was nowhere near, like, quote unquote, ready.
And how long were we doing our podcast before you took the leap? Was it a year or was it half a year?
I left in the spring of 2017. Did we start in January of 2017? Maybe.
I think we started in 2016.
Maybe.
So I think we were talking about it. So what I'm saying is it wasn't out of the blue. You were working up to it.
Yes. Yes. But I think part of my wiring is like, I wasn't like, yay, I quit. Now I'm a writer. I was like, yay, I quit. I hope I didn't just fuck my whole family.
It was like, yay, I quit. And now I have to be a writer.
Yeah. And I don't even know if I was thinking like writer necessarily. Like I was, this is semantics and maybe we're not talking, we're talking about the same thing, but I was almost thinking more of like entrepreneur or small business person, not necessarily like strictly writer, but like business. And so I think part of me was thinking, yes, writing is going to be part of what I do, but I wasn't like, okay, now I'm going to run out to that cabin in the woods with a typewriter and work on the great American novel. Like that's not necessarily where my head was. It was
because
more about making
a
living.
Business mindset, right?
Yeah.
What do you say when somebody asks you, what is your profession?
Well, I do say I'm an author, and they'll say, well, what do you write? And I'll say, well, I'm a novelist, and I also help other authors. I do editing and client work. And that's usually about as far as,
anybody
no one really
wants
cares.
To know.
Yeah, no, they don't care about anything beyond that. But I do lead with I'm an author because I do, like, that. My primary function is writing. So I don't have any qualms, like, I don't have any hang-ups about calling myself an author. But I don't think I had that romantic moment. I know what you're talking about. And like, I know, and I can't wait to hear yours, but like part of me just never had that experience. And there's certain other things in my life that I never had. And I don't regret but I often wonder like how it would have felt differently. Like another example, when I was in high school, I didn't go to a prom.
I didn't either.
You didn't either. So like, that's another, like that's a, I think about that, not often, but like I've thought about mm-hmm. that, like prom is such a rite of passage for so many teenagers and I just didn't have it. And I'm not upset about it or happy about it. I just indifferent to it. And, and I think that question of like, when did you know you were a writer? Like I never had that. And so
that's so interesting. I did not expect this response,
but
now that you say it, it makes total sense. It's so you, it is stoic. It is, it is, philosophic. It is what it is.
Yeah, but
this is what,
but you have had that moment.
I have.
So and tell us about it.
I keep thinking about you and like, so because I've had that moment, or I don't know if it's because I've had that moment, but because I've always wanted to be a writer so badly that sometimes I worry that if I lost the ability, then who would I be? And that's a really existential Buddhist question. I would really like to be okay being nothing, right?
Yes.
That is what I would like. And before I answer, you take a stab at that. If you suddenly couldn't be a writer, would your whole existence as a living being be in question?
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
It would. And
that makes me feel better.
Yeah. I think the other thing I want to add too, because I've talked recently on several of my 17 podcasts about how like I'm prioritizing nonfiction in 2020, but I want to make it really clear. Like the thing I want to do is I want to get up and write fiction every day and only do that. So I want, like, that is what I want. Like, there's no question about it, but where I am in my life and where I'm getting traction, I feel like I've got to feed that. And mm-hmm. I feel like the fiction, there's a bigger lag for that. Like, it could be a year or 2 years before I see fruits of that. And I don't have that buffer. I don't have a 1 or 2 year buffer. I don't have a 1 week buffer. So it's not that I don't want to write fiction or I don't like it. And when you say what to be a writer, I always think like fiction, like novelist, you know? And so that's why I think I feel that way about it. But that is like, if I hit the lottery tomorrow and I didn't have to do anything, I would just write novels all day long.
Me too. I would write novels and memoir. And I will say that one of my best friends, who I will not name because she did not give me permission to say this, but she made $130,000 last year just on fiction. Wow. With no advertising.
Wow.
So it can be done.
Yeah. Good for her.
You know? So, and I really liked hearing that because she's kind of living that dream of mine where she gets
yes.
a memoir. She writes 2 books a year and this is, or maybe three, I think she does 3 books.
Well,
a
that's
year.
The other thing yeah. too. Like, I'm sorry. I'm hijacking your answer, but like, The other part too is I think I'm coming back to where I started. So like when I started, I thought writing a novel meant like one a year. Mm. And then I got into the treadmill in like the late 2000s. And now like I'm coming back to that. I don't want to publish 6 books a year. It's too much. Like it's just creatively draining. And I would love to be able to say, I'm going to write 1 or maybe 2 novels a year and they're going to be fucking great. And that's all I'm going to do in fiction wise. And I think I'm kind of coming back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that feels good. All right. That feels good to think about. So my answer, and I may have discussed this moment with you at a different time, but this is when it happened. I was at an RWA National and it was my first RWA National. So it was 2008. And was in San Francisco and I was listening to this motivational speaker who I really like his books. His name is Eric Maisel. And he was talking about how, you know, if you're all of you want to be a writer and you've got a problem if you're not writing. And yeah. he was very clear about that. And I was like, well, you know, but I've got a lot of stuff to do. And he said, and if you're not writing, then, you know, if you're not writing in the evening and you're telling yourself you are, then you must write in the morning. There's no other way to do this. And I think I've said that, like, my brain said, well, I can't get up at 4 in the morning. Right. You know, I have to get up at 4:45 anyway. And then my next thought was, oh, shit, I got to get up at 4 in the morning. And I was working a 12-hour shift with an hour commute on either side. So I'd leave at 5 and come home at 7 at night. And I just did it. I started writing for 45 minutes in the morning. But sitting in that seat, the moment of acceptance for me that finally, after, you know, like basically 9 years of trying to write and really not doing it, after 9 years of trying to write it, something just clicked in my head and said, oh, this is not going to be comfortable.
Yeah,
I cannot wait till I'm A, better at writing, or B, have the perfect time to do it. I must do it tomorrow.
Yes.
And it starts. And it started and it continued. And that moment of sitting in that seat by myself in a room full of people, I knew no one. I was so brand new. And I was a writer. I finally realized it's not going to be comfortable. It is going to be unpleasant sometimes. And I'm just going to do it. And it turned out to be the most pleasant thing ever. I didn't know that sitting at my desk for 45 minutes before I'd go to a 12-hour shift was going to be my happiest time of the day. It was so beautiful. You know, I'd light a candle and I'd write and it was just so good. And that was the moment at which I committed myself to the job. And it was about 8 years before I was able to quit. It's a long time to persist. You know, but that was the beautiful moment that I had. And that's what keeps coming back. But I also really, really like your answer that you're just a freaking writer. This is what you do.
Yeah.
This is your job, you know? So we have the more prosaic and the more romantic, and they're both equally valid. And it came 9 years after going to an MFA program in which I said, I claimed myself as a writer, but I still wasn't really writing. Until then.
Nice.
So, and I kind of wanted just to ask that to see what other people, what it triggers in their brain and how they feel and how, if they've had that moment yet, or if they want that moment, or if they're more like you, I don't need that moment because what I'm doing is writing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ooh,
awesome. Good question.
Lovely. So I hope that people do come over to thewriterswell.org and punch our website in the beezer and just keep hitting enter until we get a comment, because I really would like to know, what was the moment, not like when you were seven, you're like, I want to be a writer,
yeah,
but the moment you knew you had to be a writer, if you've had that moment.
Yeah. Great question.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, happy writing to you.
Yep. Same to you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.